Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use pronouns she and her, and it is my pleasure to serve this loving and generous congregation. Everyone is welcome here, no matter how old you are or how long you've been coming, no matter who you love, no matter if you feel generosity spilling from your heart each and every day, or that just is just too hard to do. Everyone is welcome here. If you're new today, we really ask that you fill out a little form that's in the seat in front of you so we can send you information about our congregation. And one announcement, which is we are in the middle of a visioning process. So please look in your e-blast, in your announcements, and other places we get information so you can go to a group to talk about visioning and the future of WUF. And we will begin. Everyone around you. Keep standing, everybody. No, no, you don't stand. Sit. I'm sorry. We're going to light our chalice now, and you can finish these conversations at coffee hour downstairs. And if you're online, you can also click on the link in your email and have Zoom coffee hour. So please do that. So we are going to light our chalice this morning, and we are going to light our chalice for all the light that shines within you. And we are so lucky to have Ursa Hart light our chalice this morning. Let us say our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. Now we can rise, and we are going to sing 1,000, Morning Has Come.
Nice job.
Okay, good morning. Oh, good, a little loud, Jim. Take me down a little bit. Kind of have a big mouth, anybody knows me. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I'm Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him, and I'm your lay leader this morning. And I have a reading. I'm going to try to do it a little bit as a story. It's relatively brief, but it's called The Story Goes by the Reverend Gretchen Haley. So there was a woman, and she was walking through the mountains on a journey one day. She paused to cross a stream, and as she was looking down, she saw a stone, a glimmer, and reached for it and pulled it up, and it was a precious stone. She had no idea how it had been found there. She was so grateful. All of the wishes and dreams it could make come true with this stone. So she took it with her, put it in her pack, and continued on her journey. The next day she was walking again along through the hills and she came upon a man. They started talking and he talked about how hungry he was. And she said, I have food I am happy to share with you. They sat down under a tree and as she opened her pack, he saw the stone. He thought, what could I do with this stone? All of my dreams could be possible. And so he said, may I have the stone instead? She paused. She said, of course. And with that, she handed him the stone. He was very excited. And he actually jumped up and ran away because he was afraid that she would want that back. And so he left. She continued on her way. Several days later, she sees the same man walking along her toward the trail. And he came up to her and he had the stone in his hands. And he said, here, please take this back. Instead, I hope you can give me something even more precious than this stone is. I hope you can give me whatever it is within you that made it so easy for you when I asked just to give it away. In this place for this hour, we are all trying to learn how it is when we are asked to trust, to love, to give of ourselves, to share our blessings, that we can just say so easily a great yes. And also we are here to remember that we all carry with us a precious stone of some sort that is this great blessing, that is a gift that is just ours. This gift that we long to offer to the world, that is our giving. It will bless the world and it will bless us all the more. And Liz, if you'd like to come up, I'll help you with Time for All Ages.
A long time ago, before cars or cell phones or ambulances, there was a person walking on the road. He was minding his own business when he was suddenly attacked. His things were stolen and he was left injured and alone with nothing on the side of the road. The road went from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a popular road, and so thieves knew they could steal from lots of people there. Some people rode in carts pulled by horses, and none of them stopped to check on the man lying injured and alone on the side of the road. A priest of a different religion and nationality came by and saw the man, and the priest said,
I haven't got time for this. I have business in Jericho.
And hurried off. Then a temple assistant from the man's own church came by and saw him, and the temple assistant said,
surely someone else will be more skilled to tend these wounds than I. I just don't want to make things any worse.
And went off back to Jerusalem. Even a family with children passed by, and the child said,
look, that person is hurt.
Look, that person is hurt.
And the parents said,
let's keep going, sweetie. We don't know what kind of things that man is mixed up in or why that happened to him.
All these people passed by, and all the while the man needed help as he was bleeding and dehydrated and everything had been stolen from him. Shortly after the family left, a person of another group passed by. This person was of a different group than the man, and they were often at war with each other. The two sides fought bitterly. The beaten man's side and the other person's side had fought over land. They had destroyed each other's homes and temples. They had spoke ill of each other all the time, never being kind. But when this person looked upon the man alone and injured, he instead had compassion. Instead of treating him as others might have, he wrapped his wounds, gave him water, picked him up and put him on his own donkey, and walked the man to an inn nearby where he often stopped to eat. And said to the innkeeper,
take this money and care for this man. And if any other expenses arise, put them on my bill. And I will pay for him until he is well enough to return home.
And this is the story of the Good Samaritan and how he helped a poor Jewish man who had been attacked on the road. Even though the Jews and the Samaritans had hated each other for many years, he still helped him. And that is what we mean when we say that all people are worthy of dignity and respect. And that is what we mean when we say we should pursue justice. And that is what we mean when we say we believe in the interdependent web of life, that all people are our neighbors, that all people are part of our community, and that we don't have to follow the rules if the rules make no sense. We will go and listen with our hearts and lead with compassion. And now we'll rise and form arches across the aisleways and sing the children to their classrooms. Thank you to all of our wonderful actors. They have no training.
So just as a reflect back on the story, the woman probably didn't know she would have an opportunity to give something when she received that stone. But when she had the opportunity to give to another, she chose to do that. And I just wanted to reflect that. I think when I think back about gratitude, all gratitude has a beginning, whether that's the action of someone else that came along before us. We talk about that here sometimes of the trees that were planted in this, you know, whether they fell or were planted here, or this property that's been tended that has benefited us that started so long ago. Or even the Big Bang. The Big Bang started this. There's gratitude. There is always a start to something that we end up eventually being grateful for. So with that, please join me. Oh, actually, we're going to call the ushers forward or greeters forward and take our morning offering. We have a new mic, so it's kind of fun to get to run around and try the new stuff out. So anyway, thank you very much for your gifts this morning. And if you would please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving beyond the screen.
Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege.
Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
The world can be filled with such blessings, like the young child we can hear, and full of trees and pleasure and the goldenness of fall and the beauty of rain. And sometimes life can be really difficult. You can be ill. There can be losses. And there is pain. We come together in community to be able to hold together the great joys and the sorrows of our lives. And so we're going to take just a moment of silence. And as the music begins, please come forward and place a stone into the water, which represents our community of care and joy. And I will hold the microphone, and if you wanted to share a sentence or a few words about your stone, you're welcome to. You're also welcome to place your stone in silence.
Thank you.
As we take time for meditation, reflection, or prayer, as is your tradition, let us hold these words from Pema Chodron. Generosity is an activity that loosens us up. By offering whatever we can, a dollar, a flower, a word of encouragement, we are training in letting go. Let us enjoy the silence.
It's all I have to bring straight.
Woof is in the middle of a visioning process. And we are asking you what you want Woof to be now and what you want it to be in the future. And I hope everyone will attend a visioning session. You can find out, as I mentioned earlier, those about in the e-blast and in your announcements, which came in an email. If you're a visitor, you can get those emails if you fill out the little form. And we want everyone to come. If you've been coming a long time or if you've just been coming a few times, we want everybody's ideas and visions. We need all of that to think about our future. So meanwhile, we've had some of these sessions, and I've skimmed some of the early responses, and there are already common themes popping up. So many of you have expressed joy in being in a community of people who share your values. And I've heard this from many of you over the years and in other UU congregations where I've been. And as I think some of you at least are aware, this year the Unitarian Universalists are considering whether or not to change the language in Article 2 of the Unitarian Association bylaws that describe the focus of our faith. This is where the principles and sources that you can see in the front cover of our hymnals are housed at the Unitarian Universalist Association. So in 2020, the board established a commission to study Article 2 and recommend changes to it. They did this because the UU bylaws require that we study Article 2 every 15 years to make sure that they're still saying the things about what our faith is and how we're thinking about it right now. And another thing had happened, which was UUs were starting to recommend changes. They wanted to tweak the principles, add principles, take language away, shift it. And when this started happening at General Assembly, the board decided that it might just be better to study it deeply and see if there's something new that would guide us into the next part of our journey as a changing faith. So as they began to work, the commission returned to the truth that UUs commonly state that they gather to be with people with similar values. But what are these values, they wondered. The current principles are not values exactly, but rather affirmations of ideals. They convened forums and workshops and did surveys reaching around 10,000 UUs. They engaged people who attended the General Assembly in Portland in 2022 in large workshops, and many woofers were there and were able to engage in these conversations. The Reverend Cheryl Walker, who chaired the commission, said that as they listened, the same constellation of values kept coming up. It's true, it turns out we truly do share values. The new Article 2 proposed statement centers on love, and you can see it here, this is the symbol of it, as love as the foundational value. And the other shared values are an expression of this love, and they are interdependence, equity, transformation, pluralism, generosity, and justice. So you need to know that this proposal is not a done deal. Woof gets to be part of the decision about whether this change happens or not. We will send 3 delegates to General Assembly in June, and they will vote yes or no, as will delegates from all other congregations across the United States. Congregations will decide whether to make this change or not. This is not a decision made by people who work at the Unitarian Universalist Association. It is important to understand that if the new Article 2 does pass and Woof has decided that it does not represent how most members see our faith, we can continue to use the principles. Or if we are divided about it as a congregation, we can use both. The principles are still a foundational part of our faith. Even if many UUs decide that they want to affirm in our bylaws that our shared values using value statements and covenant statements, nobody ever has to give up the principles and sources. There are many ways to understand our faith. The principles and sources and the statement of values and covenants are 2 different ways to understand our faith, and they do not contradict one another.
They describe our faith in complementary ways with different emphases. So the first step on this journey is to think deeply about this new proposed language. And this week I'm going to send you, we just got the final version of Article 2 because there were some amendments voted on it at the last General Assembly. And so I'm going to be sending to everyone who's a member or affiliated with the congregation in some way all of the information about this from the UUA. They sent it to me to give to our members. So you will be seeing that soon. So what we need to do is think deeply about this proposed language. Before we make a decision about how WWF will proceed, we need to understand the proposal and how it fits within our understanding of this faith. For me, the longer I work with the language, actually, the more I like it. But you don't have to agree with me. That's the beauty of our faith. So if the majority of WWFers don't like the new language, but the majority of other congregations do, and this change is voted in, once we've studied it, we're going to understand why better. We're going to be able to work better with different kinds of Unitarian Universalists outside our congregation and within this one. So over the rest of the year, we're going to be exploring those values through our monthly themes, and we're also going to have some forums and other ways to explore the values and the language of Article 2. And we will ask ourselves, do these values describe our faith? Are they values that can guide WWF and Unitarian Universalism into the future? What are the differences between them and the principles? What is gained and what is lost with each? What helps us live our faith best right now? One of the things that I have noticed about the proposed values is how they are all values that are required for creating beloved community within our congregations and in the wider world, which is what most of us want, a community that holds us and helps us grow, and a wider community that is just and fair for all. So today, we start with the value of generosity. This is the description of generosity in Article 2, the new Article 2, the proposed language. Generosity. We cultivate a spirit of gratitude and hope. We covenant to freely and compassionately share our faith, presence, and resources. Our generosity connects us to one another in relationships of interdependence and mutuality. Those are the words. They tell us that generosity bubbles up from attitudes of gratitude and hope. They ask you use to practice generosity and tell us why we might care about it at all. The reason is generosity is what connects us to each other. Generosity is the virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. It means giving others what enhances that person's well-being. Generosity is not just about money. A person can be generous with possessions, with their time, with their attention, with aid, with encouragement, emotional availability, and so much more. We heard two stories this morning. One, a Buddhist story of a woman who gave away freely a stone of much value simply because she was asked for it. We heard a Judeo-Christian story where a man who had no reason to help an injured person from a rival clan cared for him generously with his time, his attention, and his money. Most of us admire such generosity in others. The openness of heart, the easy grace with which some people just naturally give. We might think of them as kind, selfless, spiritually mature, all traits we uphold as good. It is not surprising that the story of the Good Samaritan has been upheld as a story of moral virtue for almost 2,000 years. Most world religions teach the practice of generosity. Buddhism teaches that 10 perfections are required to become an enlightened person, and generosity is the first one you're supposed to practice.
In Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, giving is a required practice by the faith. Adherents learn to give joyfully and freely. And I believe that this is true because generosity is foundational to the beloved community. It is an essential practice for living interdependent lives. Generosity is literally what makes WOOF happen. We wouldn't exist if people didn't share generously with their time and with their money and their talents. We would have no buildings or staff or infrastructure. We would have no services or music or coffee. We would have no programs for children or groups for connection and exploration. But the ways generosity creates this community extends far beyond those practical realms. We connect when we generously share our attention with one another, when we listen to each other without comment, when we take food to those in need, and when we invite someone into a conversation or into our homes. It is literally generosity that makes WOOF the kind, supportive community we are when we are at our best. Generosity teaches the skills and attitudes we need to engage fully in interdependent life. Humans easily get caught in our own affairs, our own worries and security needs. In American culture, we are taught that this is the responsible way to be. If we don't care for ourselves, who will? And American social policies make it clear that if we don't, no one will, at least governmentally. So we need to hold on to what we have, our energy, our time, our attention, our possessions, and money are not endless resources after all. We need to be careful. Generosity exists in a different realm than hard practicality. It says that a different world is possible, a world where people care for each other. In order to be generous, we need to be able to let go of our own self-protection and concern and open to the experiences of other people. Simone Veil famously said, "Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity." Writer and historian Robert Zaretsky explains her thinking. Compassion, in contrast, means that I identify with the afflicted individual so fully that I feed him for the same reason I feed myself, because we are both hungry. In other words, I have paid him attention. We do not fully understand a human being by staring or thinking, or even commiserating with her. Instead, understanding only comes when we let go of ourself and allow the other to grab our full attention. In order for the reality of the other self to fully invest us, we must first divest ourselves of our own selves. The Samaritan felt compassion for another human, not his enemy. He did this for a man that he wanted what he wanted for himself or any other person he loved. The woman in the Buddhist story gave simply because she was so far along the Buddhist path and no longer identified herself with her belongings or wants, but simply lived within the flow of life and relationships. Generosity is a response to gratefulness. When we are grateful, we recognize how much is given to us that is simply a gift, without rhyme or reason, simply the generosity of life, or just luck. The generosity we feel showered on us can open us up to showering generosity on others. Amy Campbell, the co-author of the book Love, Let Go, Generosity for the Real World, tells the story of her path to giving.
Amy grew up in a poor family and worked hard to get an education and a well-paying job. When she got a big signing bonus for her first job, she never for 1 minute thought of giving to those in need. She reveled in all the bounty she could shower on herself. She deserved it, obviously. She had worked so hard. As she progressed in her career, she began to give money to this cause and that she believed in. Then years later, she traveled to Ethiopia to meet a child that she had sponsored. The experience changed her life, not because of the little girl, who was wonderful. It was the child's mother. This woman had several children and spent hours a day walking to get water for her family. She spent more hours of the day subsistence farming. And suddenly Amy realized that this could have been her life. She is the daughter of a Vietnamese woman and a U.S. soldier. It was only because the U.S. decided to grant such children visas that she did not end up eking a life out of a rice paddy in Vietnam. The difference between this woman and Amy was not hard work. Clearly, the mother worked exceptionally hard. The difference was luck. Amy had been lucky. What she thought of as her success, her hard work, what she deserved, had merely been luck. And so she shifted. She began thinking, not what can I afford to give away, but what do I need to keep? Her entire perspective about how life worked and what was important changed. She began giving away what she had. She continued to support this child in Ethiopia as well and send other gifts to the family. Over time, the family was able to add livestock that increased their income enough to build a house that had a steel roof instead of a thatched roof. Later, that family gave what they had to help build a school in their community, passing on that generosity. Beth Roth writes, "Generosity brings happiness at every stage of expression. We experience joy in forming the intention to give. We experience joy in the action of giving. And we experience joy in remembering what we have been given." Generosity connects us. It heals us. It is heart-opening. It reminds us we are not the center of the universe, but part of a large network of relationships, and that by sharing what we have, we become part of communities of relationship that become solid and trustworthy. Communities like Wolf cannot exist without generosity, and neither can the world that we dream of. We cannot be the open-hearted, loving people we most want to be without practicing generosity. This is why I believe that generosity is a foundational Unitarian Universalist value. Let us rise and sing number 128, All That Is Our Life.
For all that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise. For all life is a gift, which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad. Each wish others serve, for services we give, for work and its rewards, for hours of rest and love, we come with praise and thanks. For all that is our life, for sorrow we must bear, for failures, pain, and loss, for each new thing we learn, for fearful hours that pass, we come with praise and thanks. For all that
is our life. We sing our thanks and praise, for all life is a gift, which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad.
Make day standing. So go forth into the world and build the common good and make your own days glad. We will now extinguish the chalice, but the light will remain in our heart until we see each other again.
Carry the flame.